The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
The definition of a weed is a plant growing where it shouldn't. If we think about weeds, what's the most invasive weed in this district? Lantana, absolutely. A number of years ago, I had been a little lax and let the lantana get away a little bit on our property. And so when I had some time, we got in and we dug it out and we piled it up. And then we got a fire permit and lit it up. And we had several of these big fires burning around our place. You can see the flames, they're several metres high. When you've got a fire like that, the heat coming off it is so profound. The intensity of the flame is so bright, you can hardly even look at it. A fire like that, it's powerful, it's intense, it's all-consuming. Do you know God is referred to as a consuming fire? Yeah. Deuteronomy 4:24. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. It was Moses who said that. Moses said that in the context of a covenant relationship that God had created between himself and the Israelites. A covenant relationship of love is where both parties are called to be faithful to each other. Because, as you know, love doesn't work if it's only one decided, does it? You can't have a relationship if one does all the loving and the other one doesn't. And so this covenant of love that God spoke about here reveals the passionate love that God has for his people. A love like a consuming fire that's powerful and intense. But back then, sadly, the Israelites chose to follow other gods. Just like today, at times you stumble, you fall, and you start to follow other gods. And God's jealousy is stirred up. Now, jealousy is not a petty emotion. Jealousy is a legitimate passion that is aroused when someone or something threatens a covenant relationship of love. Jealousy is where this burning passion of love becomes a burning fury, which is intended to restore that relationship of love. God is passionate for his people that they do not worship false gods, but rather they remain wholeheartedly committed to him. God is a consuming fire of love for every one of you. And throughout the Bible, we see this consistent theme of the fire of God. We see it in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. God is described as fire. God appears as fire. God sends fire from heaven. Sometimes as judgment, sometimes to accept an offering. God purifies his people with fire. God fills his people with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And over these next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at this theme of the fire of God, starting today with his presence and all that flows from that. And as we look through scripture, there's many cases where it talks about the fire of God. But the first case we find in Genesis chapter 15. And here, God had just promised to give Abram a son. And then he follows that up by making a covenant with Abram. And so Abram goes and prepares the sacrifices. And then we see that when the sun had set, darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch appeared, and that passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants, I give this land. So what we're seeing here is God appears as a fire pot and a flaming torch. God appears as fire. And fire is evidence of God's presence and of his power to create a new relationship. It's a covenant relationship with Abram. And God appears as fire when this promise of God is given to Abram to provide him with a son and through him descendants who would establish the nation of Israel. And so from the very beginning of the nation of Israel being formed, we see that God appears as fire. God's presence and promises come through fire. About 430 years later, we come to Moses. Moses was a descendant of Abraham. Now Moses has been a shepherd. He's been looking after sheep belonging to his father-in-law. And he's around a mountain. It's Horeb, the mountain of God. The significance of that is it has another name. It's called Mount Sinai. And we'll come to the significance of that later. But we pick up from verse 2. And in verse 2 it says, "Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Now, if a bush was on fire and it wasn't burning up, that would get your attention, right? And so Moses goes over to have a look, and he suddenly realizes that the flame of the fire is actually the Lord. The Lord appears to him as flames of fire. And then the Lord calls to him. This fire in the bush is now talking to him. And he realizes it's God calling to him and calls him by name, Moses, Moses. And Moses, having taken his shoes off, is standing there and he is afraid to look at God. He's afraid to look at this fire anymore. God was present and powerful as fire. And having got his attention, God gave Moses directions. He said to him, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt and let my people go free from slavery. And it's from this fire that God told Moses his own name. We see here that God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. See, God revealed his presence and his promise to set the people free so that they would go from slavery to the Egyptian masters and the false gods of Egypt into freedom in a promised land. And God is calling you. God is calling you to be set free from slavery to sin and false gods and to step into the freedom that God desires for you to have. And what God said to Moses actually happened. God set his people free. They were free from Egypt. They were on their way into greater freedom, but the Egyptians didn't give up. And so we find the Israelites are in the desert. And as they are in the desert, it says, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. God was present as fire to guide his people on their way, so they could travel by day or night. See, they didn't know where to go. They'd been slaves for the last 400 years in Egypt. And now they have freedom, but they don't know where to go. So God appears to them and leads them where he calls them to go. But the Israelites find that they are trapped. They are trapped between the Red Sea in front of them, which they think they cannot cross, and the Egyptian army behind them. And then we see the pillar of cloud that until now has always been in front of them moves. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them. Why? Well, it was coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. And so throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other, so neither went near the other all night long. See, the pillar brought darkness to the enemy and light to the Israelites. God was present as fire to come between the people of God and their enemies. This is the power of God as fire. He will lead his people and protect his people from their enemies. So when you are struggling to know where to go or what to do, if you feel you are in darkness emotionally or spiritually, or you feel that you are under attack from the enemy, whether in the natural or the spiritual, then call upon the fire of God. Call upon the fire of God to lead you into the path that he has for you. Call upon the fire of God to come between you and the enemy so that you can move into the true freedom of God and his promises for you. Now earlier we saw that Moses had seen God as fire in the burning bush at Mount Horeb, calling him to go to Egypt and let my people go. And so Moses had gone to God's people. He had seen them let go from slavery to the Egyptian slave masters and the Egyptian false gods. And now he returns back to that place where he had previously had an encounter with God as fire. Last time it was as the burning bush. This time he is leading 2 million people with him. He is now at Mount Sinai and he has another experience of the fire of God. What we read in Exodus 19, it says, on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. We've already seen that on a previous occasion, God appeared to Abram as fire, a fire pot and a blazing torch, but there was just Abram there. We've seen that God appeared to Moses here at this same place as a burning bush, but there was just Moses. This time, there are 2 million people gathered around the base of the mountain, seeing the Lord descending on it in fire. And this fire is not just about light and heat. The fire was God in his glory and in his power. The Israelites wandered through the desert for about 40 years, and they're about to enter into the promised land. And Moses gives them a summary and says to these people, let me tell you what happened when you were gathered at Mount Sinai. And this is how he summarizes it in Deuteronomy chapter 4. He says, then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to follow, and then wrote them on 2 stone tablets. And the Lord directed me at that time to teach you the decrees and laws you are to follow in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So what we're seeing here is that when the fire of God had descended on the mountain, it was at that time that the Lord gave the covenant, the Ten Commandments, and the law to the Israelites. See, God had given his covenant to Abram in fire. Now he gave the fulfillment of that covenant to the nation of Israel. Again, he did it in fire. And it was in this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 4, where we saw the words that I started with earlier. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Why didn't Moses describe God like this? Because if we go right back to when they were at Mount Sinai and the fire came down on the mountain, that's what the people described it as. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. God is a consuming fire. His love for you demands your allegiance and your loyalty to him. The fire of God does not tolerate idols and false gods because God is jealous for your love. When we live in obedience to God, when we are loyal in our love of God, we find God is full of mercy and loving grace with a burning passion of love. In contrast, when we choose to live in rebellion and idolatry, we find God to be a jealous lover with a burning fury intended to restore faithful love. So far, we've seen that God comes as fire. He comes as fire to reveal his presence. God revealed his presence through the fire pot and the blazing torch. He revealed his presence through the burning bush. We've seen that he revealed his presence as the fire that came down on Mount Sinai. As fire, he gets our attention. He also reveals his presence. Here, at Rangeville Community Church, we should pray for the fire of God. For the fire of God to come and fill our lives and our church. Because we want more of his presence. Because you see, when God was present as fire, Moses was speaking with him, and God told Moses, "This is my name. I am." And Moses got to know God on first name terms. That's a pretty special place to be when you know someone on first name terms. We desire more of the presence of God. That we'd be in that deeper, more personal relationship with God. We see too that God came as fire to give his promises. God spoke to Abram through fire and promised him offspring, and through them would come the nation of Israel. When God came again as fire, now to that nation of Israel, it was with the promise of covenantal love if they would obey him. Here at Rangeville Community Church, we should pray for the fire of God to come and to fulfill the promises that God has spoken and given to us. Promises for the next stage of ministry. An aspect of that is the next stage of the building. We see that when God came as fire, he gave direction. God spoke to Moses as fire in the bush, and there was a life-changing direction for Moses' life. He went from being a shepherd of sheep to being a leader of 2 million Hebrew slaves. But he led them from slavery to freedom. God came as a pillar of fire to give direction to the Israelites because they didn't know where to go. But he gave them direction and led them through the desert. Here at Rangeville Community Church, we should pray for the fire of God to come and give us direction so that we go only where he wants us to go and do only what he wants us to do. God comes as fire for our protection from evil and the devil. God came as a pillar of fire to protect the Israelites from the Egyptian slave masters and the Egyptian army and their gods. Here at Rangeville Community Church, we should pray for the fire of God to come and protect us from what is evil in the natural and the spiritual, so that we can step into fulfilling God's promises. God comes as fire to bring his commandments on how to live. God came as fire on the mountain to give his covenant, the Ten Commandments and the law. That's what Deuteronomy told us. Here at Rangeville Community Church, we should pray for the fire of God to come and bring us into that passionate covenant of love where we will desire to live according to his commandments of love. The commandments of love that Jesus taught us is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. is to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus had a new commandment I give you, love one another. These three commandments that Jesus spoke about are all grounded in love. Because commandments of love bring us into freedom. So we need to pray for the fire of God to come and fill our church. But remember, the church is not the building. The church, well, you're the church. The church are the people of God. And so we need to pray that God would fill each one of us with fire. See, part of God's covenant that was given to Abram with fire is described in Galatians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ. So Jesus Christ was a descendant of Abraham. He was part of the fulfillment of that covenant that was given in fire. And so we get to John chapter 3 and we come across a man called John the Baptist. John the Baptist who would later baptize Jesus. And when people said to John the Baptist, are you the Messiah? Are you the promised one? John the Baptist said this, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Jesus would come and baptize people with the Holy Spirit and fire. When someone puts their faith in Jesus Christ, when someone believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who died on the cross for our sins, who rose again 3 days later, proving his victory over sin and death, then when they put their faith in Jesus like that, that brings them into a loving relationship with God. And it causes them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. So what's fire? You've got to come next week and the following week for me to tell you that. Because today, I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit part. When Jesus said he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Why? The Holy Spirit comes as fire. We see the Holy Spirit. You see, after Jesus was crucified, 3 days later, he rose again from death to life. Then, 40 days after that, he returned to heaven. He ascended back to heaven. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. A week after that, so now a total of 50 days after his crucifixion, we see that his disciples and other followers of Jesus are gathered together. And they are celebrating a feast called Pentecost. And so when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And so on this day of the Feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came as fire. Tongues of fire came and rested on each believer. And associated with that, each believer was then filled with the Holy Spirit. What does Holy Spirit fire mean for a believer? Do you know that everything that we have seen for Abraham, for Moses, and for the people of Israel is available to us through the Holy Spirit? God's presence, God's promises, God's direction, God's protection, God's commandments are all available to us through the Holy Spirit who comes as fire. You see, the Holy Spirit comes into your life when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit reveals that you belong to God. In Ephesians 1:13 it says, when you believe, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is now dwelling within you, revealing that you belong to God. And the Holy Spirit reveals that God is now present in your life. In 1 John 4:13, it says, "This is how we know that we live in him and he in us." The Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. He is in you. How do we know that? He has given us of his Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals that God's promises to you will be fulfilled. The Holy Spirit is a promise of what is to come. We read in Ephesians chapter 1, "When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance." So there's two aspects of promise here. One is that when you believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, who was promised to come, comes and dwells in you and lives in you, is present in you, is fulfilling promises in you. But not only that, he guarantees an inheritance. An inheritance is a promise of what is given to you because you're a child of God. And all that God promises for you will come as the Holy Spirit dwells in you. We have the promise of an inheritance from God. The Holy Spirit gives direction in how to live, where to go, so that you may go where he wants you to go and do what he wants you to do. Because it says in John 16, "But when he, the Spirit of truth," that is the Holy Spirit, "comes, he will guide you into all truth." He will lead you that you would become more and more like Jesus, who is full of grace and truth, that you would walk in the direction that God has for you as the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you. The Holy Spirit brings protection from the enemy and evil so that you can step into God's promises of freedom. We see in 1 John 4, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Who's the one who's in the world? That's actually referring to the devil. And so it's saying here that as children, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, and the Holy Spirit who is in you, that is God who is in you, is greater than the devil who is in the world. And so you have this promise of protection from the enemy and evil. And the Holy Spirit brings God's commandments of love. In 1 John 3 it says, "The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them." In other words, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you when you are keeping God's commands. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us, the Holy Spirit who is dwelling in you. You see, the fire of God is powerful in revealing God's presence. And through that, he gives his promises, his direction, his protection, and his commandments. He will give that to you personally, and he will lead us in these as a church. And the fire of the Holy Spirit is very personal. It reveals God's presence in your life and it empowers us to live as God calls us to live. So today, would you join with me in a moment as we would pray for more of the fire of God? But before that, let's just take a minute and reflect. What did God say to you today? And what will you do with what you've heard? Let us pray. Thank you, God, that you come as fire, which is powerful in revealing your presence. Lord, you are a consuming fire. Today we ask for your fire in our church and in our lives. Come, God, as fire in your glory and power. Come, God, with your burning passion of love, because we yearn to be faithful. But Lord, where it's necessary, come with your burning fury to restore us to faithful love. Lord, come as fire with an increasing presence in our church and lives. We want to know you more, because the more we know you, the more we become like you, and the more we reveal you to those around us. Lord, come as fire to give your promises. Just as you gave a promise to Abraham with the fire pot, and with it being partially fulfilled with the fire on Mount Sinai, Lord, you've given us at Rangeful many promises. Fire of God, come and continue to fulfill your promises for the next stage of ministry and the next stage of the building. Holy Spirit, come and give us our inheritance in God. Lord, come as fire and give direction. As you gave direction to Moses as fire in the bush to go to Egypt, as you came to Israel in a pillar of fire to give them direction, come and direct us as a church to go only where you want us to go and do what you want us to do. Holy Spirit, come and guide us in all truth so that we would live as people of grace and truth. Lord, come as fire for protection from what is evil in the natural and the spiritual. As the pillar of fire protected the Israelites from the Egyptians, fire of God, come and protect us from the enemy attacks so that we can step into God's good plans for us. Holy Spirit, come and fill us, because you are greater than the evil and the devil in this world. Lord, come as fire to bring your commandments on how to live. As you came in fire on Mount Sinai, come as fire that we would desire to live according to your commandments, to live loving God, loving one another, and loving our neighbour as ourselves. Holy Spirit, come and fill us with your love, because your word tells us that love is the greatest. Love is the first of the fruit of the Spirit. Fire of God, come. Reveal your presence. Fulfill your promises. Release your power and change us as a church and as your people to be who you desire us to be and do what you desire us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.